Soccer sucks. That's the main thing. And you can quote me on that.
We'll add it in this.
This is the Hot Corner on the Sports Superstation with your host, Ryan McKenna.
All right. Hello and welcome back to the Hot Corner. As always, I'm your host, Ryan McKenna. And alongside me is Adam Connolly. Welcome again, Adam. I'm good. How are you?
Good.
All right, so we're back for a World Series preview show. It's hard to believe. It just seemed like yesterday that we were doing the Division Series show.
Excuse me, that's right.
But no, we're back and better than ever, really.
No question.
Today, we're going to review the Championship Series, talk a little bit about the World Series, which is why we came today. But we're also going to talk about a couple issues, and really, the Toronto Blue Jays have been in the news this week with a couple items. Am I correct in saying this, Adam?
That is correct.
All right, so we're going to start off with that. And yesterday, they, as reported earlier in the, or late last week, the Jays were to sign John Farrell as their new manager, and they did yesterday, introducing him. Farrell comes over from the Red Sox, where he was a pitching coach since 2007. Personally, from my point of view, and from hearing it from Terry Francona, Farrell has a good work ethic. He gets the most out of his players, and it seems as though he will be a devoted manager to the Jays organization, which I think he will be fine. But then the question arises of the manager experience part. Do you think this will play a big factor in Farrell's tenure with the Jays?
Well, obviously not having any experience might play a bit of a factor, but I don't think so. As a Red Sox fan, I'm disappointed to see him go for sure. Yep. He's a good pitching coach. Got along great with all of his players, so I think he'll be fine. A bit of a learning curve, I'm sure, but he's got enough experience on the bench with Francona there. Yep. That he'll have a pretty good idea what's going on.
Now we talk about the Boston pitching staff. Who do you see as a suitable replacement for Farrell?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I haven't had a chance to go over who they might be looking for candidates to replace.
Are you a candidate?
I'd like to think so, but I haven't got the phone call from Theo just yet.
Oh, geez. Yeah, no, it should be interesting to see how that pans over the winter, because that'll probably be what happens.
True, though.
Okay, so we mentioned something else within the Jays organization was going on, and right after the Farrell signing yesterday, it was Manny Ramirez making headlines. He reported to ESPN Deportes, I believe,
right,
a Spanish ESPN, that he likes John Farrell and he would be interested in joining the Jays. How real of a possibility is this for Jays fans?
I think it's a possibility for sure. I mean, there's been talk about Manny going to Toronto in the past here and there. I believe, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know that of all the visiting parks that he's played in, I think he's got his best numbers playing at Sky Dome or Rogers Center. So, you know, I think he definitely is a fit there. They could use a DH. He said he's willing to DH. You know, he knows the American League real well with his years in Boston. So I think it's definitely a good fit. But, you know, Manny, being Manny that he is and being a Scott Boras client, he's definitely going to be looking for top dollars. So Toronto is going to have to fork over some money. Now, he shouldn't get anything close to the, you know, $20 million a year plus he's been making the last few years.
Yeah.
But, so I'm not sure what kind of a dollar figure he'd be looking for, but I it's definitely a possibility.
Now, if Ramirez, let's just play at the scenario, if he did come to Toronto, Adam Lynn, he's their designated hitter right now, would he move back to the outfield, which was his original position, or would he be moving to first base, as some speculate?
I could see a move to first base. Lyle Overbay's contract expired this past season. I don't think they'd be planning on bringing Overbay back anyway, but this way, you know, if Ramirez goes to DH, then you can just slip Lynn into first base, and that seems like a good fit.
Exactly. All right, with that said, we'll move on to the big news, which was the Championship Series, which wrapped up the other night. We'll start off with the NLCS, the Phillies and the Giants. Big news out of that series, Cody Ross. How do you evaluate his play?
He played great. There's no doubt about it.
Clutch.
For a guy that got picked off the waiver wire in mid-September.
Yeah.
You know, and San Francisco, the only reason they picked him up was to prevent him from going to San Diego. And then it turned out, obviously, to be a big deal. He started off right in the first game with the 200 runs off Holiday, and then it went from there. Definitely was deserving to win the NLCS MVP award. Actually, it was interesting. I don't know if you had heard, but I saw on the Sportsnet that Cody Ross spelled backwards is sorry, Doc. Which is kind of interesting. Seriously, it is.
So we were talking about sorry, Doc.
Yeah, that's what Cody, I saw that. I thought that was kind of interesting because he kind of had Halliday's number there.
He hit the two home runs off him. Game three?
Well, he hit the two home runs in game one, and then he had a couple more hits, a double for sure, in game five, I guess it was, Halliday's second start. So, anyway, just an interesting bit of information there. I thought that was
I never heard that, so it's definitely neat for sure. Now, the Phillies. I had, for those of you who haven't read my my blog on that series, you can check it out here on this website, sportssuperstation.com. I talk about the Phillies, and although we don't have it up right now in front of me, but the stats on Ryan Howard and Chase Utley were, I'm going to be honest, shocking. Mm-hmm. These are guys that have 80-plus RBIs in the regular season, 20-plus home runs, and I don't know what it was, if it was the Giants pitching, they just couldn't seem to find a rhythm.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it was either, to be honest. I mean, the Giants obviously have good pitchers, there's no doubt about that. But, for hitters that are good to really struggle was surprising. Howard struck out a lot, and Utley just kind of had a poor series all around. His defense was just fair.
He's
usually quite solid and whatnot. So, that was definitely the downfall of the Phillies for sure. You know, when you got your 3-4 hitters performing like that, you're not going to beat too many teams.
Sort of an odd question for you, but Lincecum coming in game six, what, as a managerial standpoint, why did Bruce Bochy bring him in?
I was surprised. That's the kind of thing I wouldn't necessarily mind. It was kind of similar to what Manuel did with Oswalt there earlier in the series, but I would have waited and done it in game seven. I mean, they were up in the series, but I think his thinking was that that was his day of the throw aside session anyway. So whether he's going to throw in the pen, it's obviously a little more intense pitching in the game, but if he's going to throw anyway, you may as well get him in there. It worked out all right. They won the game. He obviously gave up a couple hits there. He got lucky that the line drive for Ruiz was right at Huff. But anyway, that's the way it goes. So I was a little surprised, though, that he would do it in game six.
All right, so the Rangers and the Yankees in that series, the Yankees raise a lot of questions about their future. Losing to the Rangers. But you got to give the Rangers credit. Josh Hamilton, he showed in his first at bat, he's no force to take easy. Hitting that, I think it was three-run shot. Yeah, it got me fired up.
Oh, no question.
In that series, like we expected, Cliff Lee dominant. What do you think was the biggest factor in this series, though, personally?
I think, well, there's a lot of factors. I think the biggest thing was just, I was surprised at how well Texas played.
Yeah.
I mean, they really outplayed them. I mean, and it just made me so happy. As a Yankee hater like I am, it was just great. And I really didn't expect it. I thought, when they, especially after they blew game one, I figured, there was a chance to win. I was like, they'll be lucky to win a game now. So for them to actually beat the Yankees in six games and have Lee only pitch once, really, really surprised. Colby Lewis was very good. I mean, he beat them twice. He pitched great in game six. And he was weird. Like, the Yankee teams of the past, I know what my train of thought was saying. With the Yankees, even in the past when they win, or when they lose, they, if they're down five or six, they make you sweat. They get through two or three guys on base and they rally. They never really did that in game six. I was really surprised. From the way such a devastating loss for the Rangers in game one, and then for them to come back and win really surprised me. And then, to win it in six games with Lee only going once, I mean, it was really surprising. It really was.
That's a good point. Like, the score was 6-1, Nelson Cruz hit that jack, and then I was like, I'm not going to write the Yankees off yet because they're so notorious for coming back.
Like they did in game one, I was just waiting for them to get a couple guys on base. Yeah. And it just really never happened. I was really surprised. So anyway, it was great. It's good for baseball, I think, in a way too. You got a team that you know, a $210 million payroll and a $55 million and see the, you know, David beat Goliath and, you know, a team making the World Series for the first time ever and stuff. It's kind of interesting. I think it's going to be a downfall in the sense that the ratings for the World Series will obviously take a hit. But, you know, for true baseball fans, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, you take your wins and your positives and your negatives with that sort of stuff. Now, the Yankees, like I mentioned earlier, they got some serious thinking about doing. They already fired their pitching coach. When firings like these happen, is it really the pitching coach's fault? Obviously, Vasquez was, I personally don't think it was a pitching coach problem. He was just downright terrible.
Yeah.
Burnett was the same way. He's always been like this in his career. What area is to blame? Is it their older guys that are deteriorating after many years? And, well, let's be honest, they're getting old now.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of it. I mean, I don't know how much you can blame on the pitching coach. I thought he did a good job with Phil Hughes this year.
Yeah.
But, you got a young kid that was in the bullpen last year and had just a crazy amount of innings added onto his arm this year. Yeah. So, of course, he's going to fade off down the stretch a bit, which is what happens, you know, to a
with
lot
everyone,
of guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they can't blame him for that. I mean, Burnett, you know, this is a guy who's been a head case all of his career. He's got all the talent in the world, but if he's not pitching for a contract, his numbers tend to, you know, not be so great. So I don't think he can blame. Anyway, it's one of those things I think you see a lot where, you know, the coach gets the blame and someone's got to go and can't fire the player, so the coach goes. So, I wouldn't blame Island too much, but, you know, that's just the way it goes. And the Yankees, of course, are fairly quick with the trigger finger, too. And, you know, if they don't win, something's going to happen. So, anyway.
There's talk that Girardi could go to the Cubs. There's a lot of talk about the Yankees. But do you think Girardi will stick on with the Yankees?
I think he'll stick around, yeah. Last I heard, I thought the Cubs were thinking about their interim manager giving him the position there. So, I don't think he'll go anywhere. You never know. I think if he were to go cut, the Cubs would be the only team. I don't think he'd ever leave to go to the Mets or anywhere like that. But I think he'll stick around.
Okay. And for the Yankees free agent market, Carl Crawford. Who else is on there that I seen they were thinking about?
The Cliff Lee guy, I think.
He's not really anything big, though. Any chance of getting these guys? Well, there's always a chance with the Yankees.
Oh, I think Cliff Lee's got one arm in his Yankees pinstripe jersey already, unfortunately. As much as it pains me to say it, he's the talk with Lee, you know, being in his early 30s, is that this will be his last big contract. He's kind of said all along that he'd go where the money is.
Yeah.
You know, there's one GM or one reporter, I can't remember now exactly, it said along the lines of, you know, he'll go to Siberia to pitch if that's who offers him the most money. So if it comes down to money, you know, we all know the Yankees are going to make it. Now, if, you know, he really enjoys Texas, it's closer to his Arkansas home. Now that the Texas have an ownership group in place with Nolan Ryan, they apparently are going to go after him hard. Making the World Series will help because, you know, you're probably going to get three home games, but there's a lot more revenue, team revenue and stuff. So, you know, I think they'll definitely make a strong push. And, you know, if they're reasonably close at all, he might go to Texas. You know, there's no state tax in Texas, all that kind of stuff. Like, there's little things like that actually make a big difference compared to New York. But I don't know. In the end, I'd be pretty surprised if he didn't end up in New York.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Although he has been a great influence on C.J. Wilson and the other staff.
Oh, for sure. He fits in great with Texas. I think it'll be a dollars thing, and that's where he'll follow the dollars.
That's what it is with baseball, or so it seems.
Yeah.
Moving on to the World Series now, the big talk of this week. It gets underway tomorrow night on Fox or Sportsnet, if you're Canadian, like a lot of our viewers are. although I like to think that Ken Rosenthal and the big boys are watching. If you're... send me an email or something. Benji Molina.
Yeah.
Living the dream, really.
Yeah.
Played half a season as a San Francisco Giant, half a season as a Texas Ranger. He's going to get a World Series ring anyways. We'll get to who you think he will get the ring with first, but we were just talking about Cliff Lee. Let's talk about him a little bit more in a World Series aspect. How many times do you predict he's going to pitch? I think it'll be three times. I think he'll probably make a bullpen appearance, but that's just me. Your thoughts?
I think that you almost have to throw him three times. I mean, it's the last series of the year. Not that you'd be holding back in the ALCS, and they didn't go in short rush there, but I would do it three times. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't. I know Ron Washington, he's kind of, he hasn't said what he's going to do one way or another, but I know he's quite loyal to the guys that got him there. So yeah. I could see him giving Tommy Hunter the start in game four. I think a lot of it will depend how it's going. If they're up 2-1, you know, yeah. that's, you want to lay back by any means, but I could see him going with Hunter there. But if they're down 2-1, maybe you throw Lee back in short rest. But like you say, I would definitely say three either way, because if he pitches, say, game one and game five and it goes six or seven games, you'll see him coming out of the pen at some point. Yeah. So he may not get three starts, but I think we'll see him three times.
And yeah, that is right. Hunter is scheduled for game four, and then it's just a flip between Lewis and Wilson for games two and three. That's still to be decided. We talked about Cody Ross earlier in the show. Will he be a big factor once again in this series, or was the NLDS or NLCS just a fluke?
I don't know if it was so much a fluke. I'd be surprised if he kind of, it'd be hard for anyone to kind of put up the numbers in two series in a row like he did, but, you know, he's definitely going to be in there in the lineup, so the opportunity is there. Some guys, you know, just kind of hit their stride, I guess, in the right time, and maybe that's what he's doing. So I wouldn't say it's a fluke, but I don't think you'll see quite the good numbers. But, you know, he could definitely come up with a big at bat at some point.
Prediction time. It's that time again. We were 0-2 in the last round, which isn't a bad thing because the Rangers did win.
I've never been so happy to get a prediction wrong in my life.
So that puts you at 3-2, or
3-3.
3-3, and I'm at 4-2. Thanks. So, no. It could be a deadlock in the end. Predictions. I'll go first. This is a tough one, but I think I'm going to have to go with the Texas Rangers. Why? Well, I think Josh Hamilton, Nelson Cruz, those, and Vladimir Guerrero, I think those, that three-headed monster there in the middle of the Rangers batting order is going to be too much for the Giants to overcome. I mean, they do have a few solid guys in there. Pablo stepped in, and Uribe stepped in to have a couple big games in the last series. But I don't know, I just like Texas's their batting consistency. Yeah. There we go. I like their consistency. Up and down lineup, starting off with Andrews and ending with whoever. They just got a solid lineup, and if their pitching can pitch as well as they did in the championship series against the Yankees, then I think they got it locked. And how many games? 7.
I should have went first. No, I should say the opposite, San Francisco, just that way we can might end up with a tie, but I got to go with my gut, too, and say Texas. I think this could be a great series. I think the fact that the viewers are definitely going to be down is too bad because I think the casual baseball fan could miss out. I mean, I really think this could be a good one, but I got to go with Texas too. I think if Lee pitches twice, the way he's been going, I mean, he's almost automatic. You know, you think he'd be due for a loss at some point, and obviously going up against guys like Lindstrom and Kane, you know, certainly quality pitchers, but, you know, it's hard to go against him at this point. Texas, the rest of their pitching staff has been pretty solid, and I just like Texas' bats a lot better. San Francisco hit the ball a little better against Philly than I thought they would, but I think Texas' lineup's a little bit better. But I could see it going 6 or 7 games for sure, so I'll say 6 games, but you know, if it goes the full 7, I think that'd be great. The more ball, the better.
Are we going into November, or are we staying in October?
Well, to stay in October, it'd have to be a sweep, and I'd be shocked if someone swept, so... we'll have to. I'd say we'll be into November, which is ridiculous, but that's a topic for another day.
I wish we were playing baseball in November or October.
Absolutely,
be unreal.
It'd be a lot of fun.
So yeah, there you have it, folks. Adam and I both picking the Rangers in 6 or 7 games. Personally, I think it's going to be 7. Adam thinks it's going to be 6 or 7. So we haven't put any money down on this, but. Maybe we'll just save that for Movember. Well, I'm talking about Movember. Just a little ad. At the start of November, feel free to shave on November 1st and grow a mustache for the month of November in support of prostate cancer. Just some awareness about that as well. Check the link on our website. It should be up hopefully by the end of the day. We'll see how our marketing department is handling the work in San Francisco. And as they like to say, go Giants, go. Go Rangers, whoever you are cheering for, it should be a classic. We're going to lead you out today. Oh, before I give our ending song, thanks for joining us, man.
No problem.
All year, I've appreciated it.
Likewise.
And I forgot your East Band and Dan season one. I'm just remembering that now.
Ah.
I'll get it to you somehow. I'll mail it to you.
It one way or another.
Exactly. All right, we're going to lead you out with a band that Nickelback discovered. Don't be thrown off by the name, but the song's called Porn Star Dancing. It is a good song, though. There's a version with Ludacris in it as well. Anyways, that's how we're leading you out today. I hope you all had... This is going to be our last show for the season until next spring. I want to thank everyone personally for tuning in this whole season. We didn't get as many episodes as we planned on having, but this season was definitely a success. And we'll see you in probably early April. Enjoy the World Series. Have a safe winter. And stay tuned to Sports Superstation for blog posts about baseball and the NHL as well. All right, take care, everyone.
The Hawk Corner is a presentation of Sports Superstation. This show was written, directed, and produced by Ryan McKenna. Editing and technical director is Matthew McKenna. Marketing department and assistant technical director is Mitchell McKenna. Engineer, Patrick McKenna. Senior baseball analyst, Adam Connolly. See you next week. She makes me